Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Let us read at verse 1. Verse 1, And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Behold, tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And down further in the chapter at verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke chapter 15. And we'll only read a part of this familiar story about the prodigal son, verse 20, And he arose and came to his father. Luke 15, verse 20, And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We have read tonight from two very instructive stories that the Lord Jesus told. They are stories in which a garment and a feast are predominant. What we are preaching when we preach about salvation is a feast. It's a wonderful thing. In Luke chapter 14, the man says, Blessed are they that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. This matter of being saved is like being invited to a feast. It is a joyous thing to have salvation, to be brought into the blessings of eating in fellowship with God, being in the kingdom of God, an admission to the feast that requires fitness because there is a garment involved in each of these cases for those who enjoy the feast. And while it is a wonderful thing to be saved, it is absolutely necessary that you must have a fitness in order to enjoy the blessings of God's great salvation. Both of these stories are stories that were told as warnings to religious people. Now that might be a shock to some people. There are some in the meeting tonight and you are religious. We have no question tonight about where you attend. We have no question about whether you're faithful in your attendance. But I do hope tonight that what you have heard and what you will hear in the moments till the meeting is closed will come as a solemn message of warning from God. God still speaks messages of warning to people that are religious. You can have all the religion in the world and die in your sins and go to hell. A warning to religious people. Both of these parables involve this truth. Those who were at the feast were not worthy. The question of their own personal worthiness was not a matter that was dealt with in their being at the feast. We did skip over, for the sake of time, in Matthew chapter 22, the part about those servants. And as they were going out to invite people to this feast, and we are here this evening to invite men to the feast that they might enjoy God's salvation now and eternally, they were told to invite them, whether bad or good. Doesn't matter what their character is. Their character, bad or good, will not increase or decrease. They're welcome at the feast. And back from the far country, smelling of the pig pen where he had been working, and with absolutely nothing left in his pocket, and simply a destitute boy with nothing presentable. The prodigal son was welcomed at the feast. Welcome at the feast does not depend on any worth that you may have. But in both of these cases, the blessings of the feast were based upon death. Both of these feasts involved the provision of a wealthy man. And I want to remind you tonight that the provision that brings men and women into salvation, the provision that brings men and women into the joy of heaven for all eternity, is provided by a wealthy God. God is not asking you to contribute. All that you may have to offer God is of absolutely no worth. Salvation is the provision of God through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me then look at the garments especially in these parables and draw to your attention what I trust will be simple, pointed truths relative to God's great salvation and enjoying this feast. Let me simply say that a garment is required. A garment is required. Here is this man in the story in Matthew chapter 22 who came to the feast. Now, everyone else that was at the feast had a garment that had been given to them. That was the custom in Eastern countries at that time. But this particular man that is singled out in the story did not have a wedding garment from the king. He had his own garment. And there was absolutely no problem to that man when he was in the company of other men. In other words, when that man compared himself with all the other guests that were there at the wedding feast, he was perfectly comfortable. There are some in the meeting tonight now. I want to speak as directly to you as if I mentioned you by name. There are some of you in the meeting tonight and you're very comfortable passing yourself as a Christian. You've got your own garment. And you would like to just be one of the folks that are Christians. No, there's never been a time, as we've been hearing tonight, never been a time when you were born again. There's never been a time of conversion in your life. No, there's never been that. But you've got your own garment, and you look around at the other folks, and you say, well, what I've got is it's as good as what they've got. I believe what they believe, and I don't think there's any difference between them and me, really. I mean, they have a different background. They were brought up to believe one thing. I was brought up to believe another thing. And in a different way, we've come to the same point. I don't see anything wrong with my wedding garment. Looks okay to me. There is a garment required when the king comes. You see, tonight it's not a question of how you look to me. We all look good. It's not a question of how you look tonight to fellow man. It's not a question of how you look as far as you're concerned. It's not a question of your comparing yourself with others. The big question tonight is, how do I of God see you as you're sitting in the gospel meeting tonight? What does God say? Well, God knows that I try to do what's right. And God knows that I'm sincere. And God knows that I'm honest. And God knows that I really never... I've heard people say this. I can hardly believe they really mean it. But God knows that I have never really intentionally done anybody any wrong. Even if you would dare to say that tonight, notwithstanding all of that, let me remind you what God sees by what God says. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Gather your wedding garment around you and get your tie all straightened up and your bow, whatever it may be, but listen to what God says. You need another garment because your garment is stained by sin. Filthy garments in the sight of God. When we were working in New York State, there was a woman that attended some of those meetings, and she told us every time she had a chance that she positively hated to hear us quote that verse. And of course, every time we saw her in the meeting, not to antagonize her, we quoted that verse because that's what she needed to hear. Every time she talked to us, she told us about how near she and God were and how she prayed to God and how she read the Bible and how she loved this and she loved that. And on the story went. Now, the remarkable thing to me is she didn't listen to what God said. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And she didn't know we knew more about her than she thought we did. There were things about that woman's life that she would have blushed if we knew. And yet she thought she could cover all that up to men. And therefore she had all covered up before God. Dear soul, I want to tell you tonight very plainly, you need a garment from God. Or you'll never enjoy the feast that God has for you. You may be satisfied with it. You may pass in and out amongst the Christians. And you think they all accept you as a Christian. And you figure you must have passed the test. What are you going to do when you meet God? You see, it's either a question of bowing to what God says now, or you will bow to what God says then. We're interested in getting men and women to take off all the garments of their own righteousness now, and take the garment now. Because when you stand to meet the King, there'll be no garment available to you then. A garment is required. You are as unfit for the presence of God as the prodigal was in his rags. Whether you have ever seen it to be so or not, God says it is so. Thank God for the great truth that a garment is ready. It is not a question this evening that there is some garment you have to prepare in order to be at the feast. God has not left anything up to you. And he has not left anything up to me when it comes to this great matter of a fitness for the feast. This great truth goes away back to the beginning of our Bible. Genesis chapter 3. For as soon as man had sinned, they needed a covering in the sight of God. We are living in a day, and this is not my subject now, but I'm using this for illustration. We are living in a day when men are trying to minimize what the Word of God sets as a moral standard, that there is a shame to being uncovered. And our society rather flaunts the opposite. God, morally speaking, has not changed. It is a shame for man to stand before God, uncovered in his sins. And that's where Adam and Eve were. My, they have sinned against God, and the all-seeing eye of God knows all about it. And you remember the story of Adam and Eve. When they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, my, they scattered. Hide over here, Eve. Let's get out of the way. Let's not let God see us. Thank God that while they had sinned, at least their conscience was awake. The problem is there are some in the meeting tonight and your conscience has never been awakened. The reason why you're not squirming in your seat tonight is because you are not aware of the all-seeing eye of God and the presence of God in the gospel meeting tonight. Anything will do, says Adam. Let's try fig leaves. Some kind of a covering. We cannot stand before the all-seeing eye of God. The problem was sin. And because of their sin, they must have a covering from God. Thank God in Genesis chapter 3, the very chapter where sin entered into the world, we have the great truth of a covering. God had a garment ready for them. There was one animal that was slain, and from that one animal there was a coat of skin given for Adam and for Eve. God gave them the covering himself. I want to tell you tonight, there's a garment ready that God himself has prepared. All the work of Adam and Eve, stitching together fig leaves. Now, don't ask me how they did that. I don't know where they got the needle. I don't know what kind of thread they used. But they worked their hardest and they did their best. And it was not good enough for God. But the garment that God prepared was the garment that was needed. There is a garment tonight. There is a fitness tonight that God has prepared. And nothing but that will do for you in the meeting tonight. It is a garment that has been purchased by God. If I may put it that way, there is a price tag that has been paid. You have never seen it. We were surprised today. We looked in a shop at a particular item, and the two of us guessed the price because we figured it would be high. We guessed high. Both of us did. We thought. And we had to multiply our answer by about 8 times to match the price tag in the store. You have never seen a price tag as high as the price tag on the garment that God has ready for you tonight. The price tag was the precious blood of Christ. It is absolutely impossible for men to have a covering. It is absolutely impossible for you to be fit for the presence of God apart from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you tonight that as it was with Adam and Eve, an animal must die that there would be a covering for them. So the Lord Jesus must die at Calvary that there might be a fitness, a covering for men and women. And that's what Paul is preaching when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He that is God in heaven hath made him, the Lord Jesus, at Calvary. He hath made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might have a perfect fitness to stand righteous in the presence of God. He was made sin, though he knew no sin, that I might have a righteous standing in the sight of God. Tonight, dear soul, I am clothed in the garments of salvation. I can take the words of Isaiah chapter 61 for myself. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. I have got tonight a garment of fitness in the presence of God. I want to tell you it's a marvelous thing to be able to say it. The more I know the holy requirements of God, the more I am amazed that it is true. You don't know David Oliver like I do. David Oliver would have absolutely no fitness to stand in the presence of a holy God. But I want to tell you tonight that I can stand without one blush in the presence of a holy God. All because of the purchase price that was paid. All because of the precious blood of Christ. Dear soul, tonight, anything less than that is not enough. The garment prepared by God and purchased by God is a garment that as well is provided by God free of charge. God is not asking you to give anything. God is not asking you to contribute to this great matter of salvation. It is provided by God, but it must be proven by God. It's not a question tonight of what you think of it. If this garment satisfies God, if it meets God's requirement, that is all that matters. And I want to tell you tonight that the Savior who provides salvation and fitness for you by dying has been raised from the dead, and God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And the garment that he provides by his death is enough to satisfy God. I'm thankful for the moment in life when I simply took God at his word. What Christ has done to make me fit for God's presence is enough. The garment's ready. In Luke chapter 15, we have the garment received. Says the Father, bring forth the best robe. God has got the very best for you tonight. Bring forth the best robe and put it on. The story of Luke chapter 15 is the story of a boy that received the garment and enjoyed the feast. What is the key to that boy receiving the garment? Listen to him. His father is running toward him. I wonder, before he could see his father's face, I wonder if he was thinking about backpedaling to the far country when he saw his father running toward him. What will my father say? And when he sees the wreck I'm in, what is my father going to do with me? He's got a speech already. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. This boy is ready to receive the garment because he knows he's nothing but a sinner. The reason why there are some in the meeting tonight and to the present moment you have left gospel meetings without the garment is you have never come like the prodigal did. You have never bowed before God and said honestly, simply, "Oh God, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be in heaven." You're trying to convince God you are worthy. And every time a little something unsettles you and you feel a little bit of an earthquake in the gospel meeting, you get yourself all composed again by telling yourself you're not all that bad, and those men are kind of extreme, and they get excited about things. Everything is all right. Listen, dear soul, tonight it's time to come to God like the prodigal came. It's the only way you'll ever get the garment. If you come as a sinner. God is not interested in adding something to what you have. God is interested in giving you something you don't have. It's not a matter that God wants to put a better suit of clothes on top of the clothes you have on. Oh, if you only could see tonight, you have sinned against heaven and in God's sight, and you have absolutely no worthiness, no fitness in the presence of God. The garment is received by a boy that is willing to acknowledge he is absolutely unworthy. He has nothing. He's only a sinner. But that's not the case of the man in Matthew 22. That's not the case of the religious people to whom the Lord Jesus was speaking. It is here a garment refused. What they have is good enough. I'd like to ask you tonight, are you going to leave the meeting with what you have, figuring it's good enough? Or are you going to come like the prodigal, acknowledging, "Oh God, I have sinned. I'm going to perish if I go on the way I am. I do not deserve to be in heaven. I am absolutely unworthy and unfit for the presence of God. Oh God, I'm nothing but a sinner." Is there a fitness for a guilty sinner like me? Dear soul, if you come like that tonight, you'll find that God is running to you to make sure you've got the best robe of heaven on you. Or will you tonight be satisfied to go on just the way you are? Let me tell you from the story in Matthew chapter 22, the dreadful consequence of a garment refused. The inevitable moment came when the king stands face to face with the man with his own garment on. And the king says, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into utter darkness." And says the Lord Jesus, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When all is said and done, your destiny is going to be determined by a sovereign God. Bind him hand and foot. Render the man powerless in the presence of the king. Oh, what a moment when men will meet God face to face and be made powerless before the Almighty. The psalmist was looking at men and all their pleasures and all their prosperity. And then he gets another look at men. And he says, how are they cast down as in a moment? When the Almighty rises up and men find themselves in the hand of the living God, bind them hand and foot. There is the separation of eternal judgment. Take them away. From all of holiness and light, from all that's fond and fair and bright, to all that's good and true and right, bid thou thy last farewell to go forever into another world. Banished from God and banished from heaven. Dear soul, tonight awaken to see that the course that you are taking is a course of eternal judgment at the end.
And the solemnity the Lord Jesus pronounces on eternal judgment is this. There is something about that place toward which you will be going. There is something about that place that is so different from this place. There is something about that place that knows nothing but contrast to this. There. In that land over there to which men will go who do not have the wedding garment. There, says the Lord Jesus, shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's something extremely solemn about the way the Lord Jesus puts that. He does not say, there they shall weep and gnash their teeth. That would mean, perchance, that there for 1,000 years they would weep. And then there will be a let up. There they shall weep. No, the Lord Jesus says over on another shore, there are only 2 things that I'm telling you they will do. They will never know an interruption. They will never know a change. On the other shore, for those that die in their sins, there will be nothing but weeping. There will be nothing but eternal remorse. Nothing. Oh, the solemnity, dear man, tonight in God's name, take a look at a long eternity and your soul to know nothing but weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear woman in the meeting tonight, stop and see that the result of your sins demands eternal banishment from God, to weep unendingly, and to know nothing for countless ages, but eternal conscious punishment. In your banishment from God. Oh, God grant you might see tonight that more than anything else, you need the wedding garment that is provided and available to you through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we commit to Thee Thy Word and pray that the truth of Thy Word will reach some hearts. We do thank Thee that Thy Word tells us, is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. We do pray that the power of the Word of God addressed to the conscience of those in the meeting tonight who are without Christ may result in their breaking under its power and being brought in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit Thy Word to Thee and ask Thy richest blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing 2 verses of number 106, Sinner Heart, 'Tis God Proclaiming, Full Salvation Now to Thee, If Thou Wilt Believe on Jesus, Him Who Died on Calvary. Let us sing verses 3 and 5 of this hymn 106, and our meeting is closed. Thank you very much, each one, for being with us again tonight. And remember, the meeting's announced for the rest of the week if the Lord be not come.
Thou hast wandered, sadly wandered, down the broad and crowded roadway, near to